Thanks for joining us today. This is Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible.
Then we talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people like me and you. All right, Ivy's going to start us today in John chapter 5, verse 16.
Okay, here we go. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."
A lot of Jesus speaking in chapter 5 and chapter 6, which is great. You get to know a lot about Jesus in his words, right, in his teachings.
Absolutely.
What he stands for. And so here Jesus is under persecution. We take it back to verse 16, and his comment is, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So in the midst of persecution, he doesn't try to dull things.
Right.
He says, "Hey, I'm doing what I'm sent to do by my Father."
Right.
Doesn't just refer to God as Yahweh or as Almighty or as the Heavenly Father. He personalizes it and calls God my Father.
Right.
To us in modern times, not a super big stretch.
No, because
we're used to that.
Yeah.
Because Jesus opened the door and the way for that.
Absolutely.
But prior to Jesus, that is not the way that a Jew or anyone would refer to the Almighty.
Mm-mm.
They would take a step back, have a level of distance betwixt them. And Jesus gets even more persecuted. It says in verse 18, "For this reason, they tried all the harder to kill him." Because now he wasn't just telling people, "Hey, carry your mat on the Sabbath."
Right.
He was calling God his own Father. In other words, making himself kin, direct kin to God. And they thought that was, they have a word for it,
blasphemy.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. And then Jesus continues talking. He just says, "I tell you the truth," right? Everything you see me doing, I'm not just doing it on my own. I'm not just winging it down
here. Right, right.
I am under the direction of my Father. He doubles down and he talks about that connection between he and God and God's power to raise the dead, to give life, to whoever he pleases to give it to, how he doesn't judge people, but he entrusts that judgment to his son, to the son.
Right.
And Jesus says, hey, I'm that son. And essentially, if you honor me, you're honoring the Father.
Yes.
To dishonor me, to hassle me, to persecute me, to call me a blasphemer, mm-hmm. call me a heretic, whatever, is a big deal.
Absolutely.
Because when you're saying those things to me, you're actually saying them
to
about
the,
my
to the Father. Right.
And so it is inseparable, this idea that you have to love and respect the teachings of Jesus in order to genuinely love and respect God. And I know there are some who diminish Jesus to just being a rabbi or just a great wise teacher.
Sure.
It's historically pretty provable that Jesus, even non-Christian historians,
sure.
Verify his
existence. He existed. He had followers. Mm-hmm. He was crucified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us like to, I shouldn't say that. Let me phrase that differently. It's not uncommon now for people to say, okay, I accept that he existed and he's got some wise teachings, but I don't think that there was anything particularly special about him in terms of deity.
Sure.
Well, biblically, that just doesn't match. Biblically, there is something quite special about Jesus, and to diminish him into a smaller role is to diminish his Father.
Right. Well, you can't call somebody a prophet or a good teacher who is simultaneously regarded at the same time by a particular religion as a liar. You can't be both. You can't be a good teacher and a liar. You either say he's a good teacher and therefore his teachings are true, his teachings are provable, and therefore should be put into practice. But you can't have both, you know, which I think is where that whole idea of Jesus not being deity but a good teacher kind of falls apart.
Yeah. And then looking at verses 28 and 29, when he says, hey, don't be amazed at the things I'm telling you. A time is coming when everyone who's in the grave is going to hear his, the Father's voice, and come out, and then something's going to happen.
Right. Okay.
Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who've done evil will rise to be condemned.
Mm. Right.
Right. It matters. Our actions, the way we live,
absolutely
matters.
Yes.
It's not uncommon for people to, under the umbrella of grace and favor, and under the common comment,
yes.
nobody's perfect, or only Jesus was perfect.
Newsflash.
To dismiss
yeah.
the importance of the way that we act or behave.
Absolutely.
And in reality, how we act and behave cannot be dismissed. Mm. It says, right, these are Jesus' words, right?
Yeah.
Those who've done good will rise and live. And if you don't do good, you will rise
and
to
be condemned.
Yes. Right? Actions matter. Now, actions should never be placed in front of our heart and our repentance.
True.
Right? The word for
repentance. Because then it's just empty.
Metanoia, mm-hmm. right? Which means mind change. And you notice when your mind changes genuinely on something, your heart changes on something, and your actions,
always
follow that. They reflect
absolutely.
It. But when you try to get that the other way around, like, ooh, what are the commandments again? All right, let me just start following those things without really ever getting my heart and head into it.
Right.
You notice that it's really hard to follow the commandments then. That is essentially
right.
putting the horse in front, or rather behind the cart rather than in front.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Picking it back up there in verse 31, Ivy.
Okay. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I'm doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You've never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
All right, so this is pretty significant.
It sure is.
I'll give you the first shot at this one.
Okay, let me go back.
Testimony of John.
Right. So I think what's interesting about this is when you understand the importance of testimonies in the Jewish law, in order for a testimony to be valid at all, it had to have two or more witnesses. And I think when you have John the Baptist who is testifying, you have John and you have his disciples, that type of thing. Jesus is saying, I have a testimony that's weightier because the one who accompanies my testimony is the Father himself.
So the two witnesses on this one are me and the Father.
Right? And that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a big deal. And so, he's saying, I don't have human testimony at the testimony of the Father himself, which was, I mean, he doesn't just double down. He quadruples down in this passage.
And he's still talking to these Pharisees who were angry with him as a blasphemer and a lawbreaker.
Right.
In their mind's eye. And boy, he really gives it to him here in verse 37. He says, you have never heard his voice. You have never seen his form. In other words, he's implying, I have.
Right.
Right? You haven't. And then he says, nor does his word dwell in you.
And for the teachers of the law, whose lives are all about the law and whether or not you're keeping it, that was quite a statement.
Yeah. You know, these are some of the elite who actually know how to read and write,
mm-hmm.
who are in front of the scrolls and poring over them on some frequent basis. And for him to say that the word doesn't dwell in you is quite a slight, quite an insult.
So yeah.
You do not believe. And here's why. He says in verse 38, here's why I say it. You do not believe in the one he sent. In other words, if you don't believe in me and you go back to John chapter 1, Jesus was the Word become flesh.
Right, right.
If you don't believe in me, you don't believe in the Word.
Right.
If you're not in me, the Word's not in you. Right? And he says, you diligently study. I'll give you that. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And this is where we have to be careful as Christians.
Yes.
We need to know the Bible, but we don't worship the Bible.
Right.
Right? The Bible tells us a lot about God. It's a unified story from Old Testament all the way through Revelation.
Right.
That leads us to Christ and tells us all about God, about his nature, about what he accepts, what he does not accept. That's what the Bible is. But we don't worship the Scriptures. The
True.
Scriptures are not our salvation. Jesus is our salvation, right? And what he says is, you think that by them you possess eternal life, but these are the Scriptures that testify about me.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet you refuse to come to me to have life, he says in verse 40. See, I'm the key to eternal life. The Scriptures are great because they testify
about me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
All right, so let me see. Yeah, we should probably pick up here a little bit. I do not accept praise from men, verse 41, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe? If you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God. All right. So, as we wrap up here, maybe make some comments on this last few verses. I don't accept praise from men, but I know you.
You do. And I think, you know, and there are other parts, obviously, in the Gospels refer to Jesus saying, you know, you, like the scathing rebuke that he gives them in Matthew and obviously other places. You know, you have your phylacteries long and you gather praise around you as you walk through the temple courts and, you know, judge people. Clearly, accolades and human glory was unfortunately built into the culture of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, teachers of the law, but not to Jesus.
Yeah, and the present time translation, like get fired up about the person who is leading your church and behind the pulpit, all mm-hmm. that. Be encouraging to them. It's not always an easy task or an easy job.
Sure.
But they're just people.
They're just people.
And to hold them in too high of an esteem
mm-hmm.
Isn't healthy, right? And
right.
it's probably not what they want either in their heart of hearts.
Right.
And the Pharisees had kind of gotten caught, and the teachers of law had gotten caught into this culture of being important.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm an important religious person or religious leader. And Jesus says, look, even I don't accept praise from men. Even I'm not looking to be important here.
Right.
Right. And that should tell us everything we need to know about the nature of Jesus. Right? He didn't come for himself or for his own, you know, purposes or glory. He came for God's purposes
yes.
to do a job. And it's the job that he was doing. And it was the job to reconcile people. And it was cutting against the grain of all the important people.
Right.
Had them
it
quite
was.
Kerfuffled.
That's a great word. And on that, we will end this podcast. Just a reminder.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.
Just do what it says. Thanks for joining us.